Welcome to another life-impacting message from City Light Church, North Adelaide. You can find more great things like this at citylight.church/North Adelaide.
Okay, if you can wrap up your conversations. You can talk more at lunch. You think I'd be used to getting attention as a teacher, but it's different when there's adults. Okay. Today's reading comes from Exodus chapter 3. It's about Moses and the burning bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up." When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters. And so you will plunder the Egyptians." This is the end of the reading.
Thanks, Naomi. Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. This is the first Sunday of 2024. It's good to be with us, with you this morning. I'm Simon, lead pastor here at City Light Church North Adelaide. A warm welcome to you all. Let me extend that of Jesse and also of Ellen. We are in Psalm 23 for the next few weeks. A wonderful psalm, a very familiar psalm. Part of the inspiration for this series is that often in summer, in the January month here at North Adelaide, we look at some psalms. I read a couple of books late last year on Psalm 23, which were just wonderful to read, has been enriching for me. Many of the ideas I'm going to share today sort of arise from them as well. But it's just a wonderfully familiar but beautiful psalm, and I hope that it'll be helpful for us to kick off 2024 together. Can I encourage you to grab a Bible near you, whether that's the Red Bible, where you'd find Psalm 23 on page 579, or in the Black Bible, where you'll find that on page 862 or on your device. And as you're doing that, I want you to turn to the person next to you with Psalm 23 open in front of you just for a few seconds. And just, it's a very familiar psalm to many of us. I want you just to have a look at it and maybe share with the person next to you, what do you love about Psalm 23? Does that make sense? Open it up on your device or in the Bible around you. Familiar psalm, what do you love about Psalm 23? I'll give you 30 seconds to do that, then we'll get going. Go, have a go. All right, just as you get warmed up, I'll cut you off. But we'll give some more thought. Yeah, it's great to have you guys with us, Naomi and Mikey. Really lovely to have you here last week and also to share today. I was thinking during the week, I was reflecting on you guys. And I was like, why is it that Mikey and Naomi are such a, I don't know, just an encouraging couple of people, brother and sister in Christ? And then I realized it's because they sit really close to the front. So if you want to be, no, I'm just joking, you don't have to come and sit next to the front. But I do remember back at, we used to meet as a church community over at the Estonian Hall, and you guys would always sit in the very front row. It was like I was just preaching to them every Sunday, you know, and then a few others were scattered around. But yeah, no, great to have you with us. And please let me extend that invitation to our place from 12:30 this afternoon for a potluck lunch. If you know what that means if you come, please bring a plate of food and a drink to share, and we'll just get around these guys, support them, encourage them as they keep doing their work, in Jesus' name. Please have that part of God's Word open, Psalm 23, and let me read it to you this morning as we come to God's Word. Psalm 23, let's hear God's Word together. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Join me in prayer as we come to God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the preciousness of these words in Psalm 23, are really great for so many of us. I'm aware that some people in this room have treasured these words longer than some of us have been alive. And Father, we pray therefore in faltering human speech today, make your living word a strength and comfort to all your people. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said, amen. Charles Spurgeon, the great British London preacher, called Psalm 23 the pearl of the Psalms. And we all know why, don't we? I don't think there's likely to be any other part of the Bible that I could have read this morning where in your own head, as I was just reading it then, you were just finishing off the sentences for me. The Lord is my, I shall not. He leads me beside quiet waters. We know it, don't we? In different versions of the Bible or different versions of songs or hymns that we sing, the words of Psalm 23 are embedded in our hearts, aren't they? And if the Psalms are precious to all of us because they speak the language of the heart, the personal experience of walking with the Lord through all the details of life, then Psalm 23 is the pearl of those Psalms. Spurgeon said of Psalm 23, its soft and pure radiance delights every eye. Its piety and poetry are equal. Its sweetness and spirituality are unsurpassed. I'd imagine in a room like this, we have all kinds of personal reasons for loving Psalm 23, don't we? Part of my reason for preaching this, apart from reading a couple of books on it recently, is that last year I received news of an older brother in Christ who'd been diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumour. An older man, and he's had a really challenging end to last year. Periods in hospital, a myriad of tests, rehabilitation. And occasionally when I meet with Ian, we read Psalm 23 together. He's pretty tired, can't discuss it forever. But it's been really precious to him. It's been really precious to us. If Psalm 23 is the pearl this morning, then preaching on it to you, to us this morning, is hard because I don't know about you, but we don't want the most precious things to us kind of mishandled, mucked around with by somebody else. And so preaching on Psalm 23, which is probably precious to many of us, it can feel like someone like me comes along and takes the psalm out of your hands and analyzes it and pulls it apart and then gives it back to you in some kind of different way. I don't want to do that for you over the next few weeks. I don't want to take Psalm 23 off you today, but I do want to take Psalm 23 off some people, hopefully not you. When Ian was in hospital, after they discovered his tumour, he had Psalm 23 open on his table. A nurse came into the room, noticed that the Bible was open, and she said, I love that psalm. And Ian, who's a bit of a, I don't know, raving evangelist, kind of turned to the nurse and said, oh, that's really nice, but do you love the shepherd? Do you love the shepherd of Psalm 23? I think she quickly scurried off out of the room when I'm doing that. But that's my question to you and even to me this day as this new year begins. Even everyone out there, I don't know, will ask you, maybe has asked you already as the year's got underway, ask you about like different questions as the year starts. You know, what's the year going to be like for you? They might ask you questions about your body, about your fitness plan for the year, resolutions for the year. They might ask you about your career plans for 2024, your holiday plans, your financial goals, your relationship hopes, your dreams for university. But my job today is to ask you, if you know the shepherd of Psalm 23, is he your shepherd? I want to, as we look at Psalm 23, is he your shepherd? You see, one of the hardest things I do as a pastor, it's been a while since I've had to do this, but one of the hardest things it is to do as a pastor is to take funerals. particularly of people who know nothing about the shepherd but want the shepherd's psalm at their funeral. It's because of verse 4 in the psalm, if you have a look down, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death or through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil." This is a funeral psalm, but the problem is only one verse out of the whole six speaks about death. Can you see that? Psalm 23 is actually a psalm all about life. Do you see the imagery all the way through it? It's about food, it's about water, it's about rest, it's about security. Look at verses 5 and 6. It's about going to a beautiful banquet in a beautiful palace where we have perfumed oil tipped all over our heads and we have a cup of wine that is overflowing, where we have to say to the person, no, stop, it's overflowing. Can't you see my cup's overflowing? Psalm 23 is about life, abundance, protection, security. It's more about the happiness of life than the sadness of death, I think you would agree. And the comfort that there is in death in verse 4, the comfort comes from knowing the shepherd of verses 1 to 3, knowing the host of this amazing banquet that we can look forward to in verses 5 and 6. So at funerals, people can take comfort from the psalm that does not actually belong to them. That's a problem. I don't actually know what to do with it at funerals. If we have no time for the shepherd in life, why do we want him in death? If we don't want to be with him, to live with him, to eat with him, what makes us think we should be able to die with him? I think the best I can do at funerals is pray that the power of the poetry and the beauty of the shepherd will shine through and stir souls, that they might see him in the darkness, find him in their sorrow. But I don't think I've seen that happen just yet. But running through this psalm, Psalm 23, are three great confessions of personal faith in the shepherd. Three personal testimonies of David, the shepherd here, in the presence of the great shepherd. So over the next three Sundays, we'll take each confession in turn. The first one comes in verse 1, "I shall not want," or "I lack nothing." That's the first confession or testimony. "I lack no good things." That's what sheep say when they know the shepherd. Then in verse 4, "I shall not fear." And then in verse 6, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." 3 weeks, three confessions of faith that I want to be your confessions of faith as this year gets going and throughout the whole year. "I lack no good thing, for you are my shepherd. I will not fear, for you are my companion. I will dwell with you forever, for you are my host." And do you notice what holds all these confessions together in Psalm 23? What's the glue? The glue is the he and me relationship all the way through. He and me. There is a bond between the Lord and me. Do you have that bond this morning? Do you know what that is like? Do you want it if you don't have it? Look at verse 2. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me." And look how it changes in verse 4. Not just he and me, it becomes I and you. Do you see it? After he spends time talking about him, David starts talking to him. "I will fear no evil." Why? "For you are with me." And then he just hangs out with the shepherd for the rest of the psalm through verses 5 and 6. You, me, my, you. It's deeply personal, profoundly precious, isn't it? Some of you, I don't know, you might have heard this story. It's a bit of a famous story of a young boy in Scotland who was orphaned at a young age. As a result of being orphaned, he went to live with his grandfather, who happened to be a shepherd. As he grew up, the father took him out into the fields and taught him how to tend the flocks of sheep. His grandfather was just a beautiful, wonderful Christian man. In the evenings, after a day at work, the grandfather would sit his grandson down and tell him Bible stories, and particularly stories about shepherds like Moses and David through the Bible, and most of all, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. The boy grew up to tend the sheep, but he struggled to read and to write. His grandfather, though, taught him the first five words of Psalm 23 in a really lovely way. He took his left hand and he said, "Here's how you learn the first five words of Psalm 23. So have everyone, get your left hand and hold it somewhere where you can grab it with your right hand. And he said, this is how you do it. The Lord is my shepherd. That's how he taught him. The Lord is my shepherd. Five words, the first five words of Psalm 23 committed to memory. A terrible storm came one particular day. The grandfather knew that his grandson was out tending the flocks. Terrible cold, this massive storm engulfed the whole farm. The boy didn't come home. The next day, he was found dead, frozen to death in a field. But those who found him noticed that there was something strange about how he was holding his hands in that moment. His right hand was clasping his fourth finger on his left hand. The Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. So I want us to look at this together. This first confession of faith. Here is what people who know this God, who belong to the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, here is what they say. Because he is mine, I lack nothing. I lack nothing. That phrase, I lack nothing or I shall not want, here's what it means. It means I shall never lack the expert care and management of my master. It's a good way of putting it. I will never lack the expert care or management of my master. I will never want for care and direction. Why? Well, look again with me at the text, verse 1. Because the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. So this morning, brothers and sisters and friends, three reasons in those three opening verses why David can say, I lack nothing, and why we can say, I lack nothing. Three, let me show them to you. Number one, I lack nothing because of who God is. I lack nothing because of who God is. David does not want because of who God is. You know, I'd never seen this before until reading Psalm. I've been reading Psalm 23 for years and years and years. I never saw this until I read these couple of books. I've never seen it until recently. We move so quickly, don't we, into Psalm 23 to the images that are embedded throughout the psalm, right? To the sheep, to the green pastures, to the quiet waters. We're drawn in by the poetry of the valley, and we move so quickly down the page that we don't stop to pause at the staggering opening to the psalm. That simple phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. It's one thing to have a shepherd, right? That's great. That's terrific. Every one of us has shepherds. We all have shepherds. We touched on this last week, actually. We all have people that we're following in life. People who tell us where to go, people who tell us what to do, what to think, how to dress. We're relying on someone or something to keep us safe and provide comfort and protect us all the time. But to be told that the Lord is my shepherd, that one, the Lord is my shepherd, is staggering. As you look at verse 1, the word Lord, L-O-R-D, ought to be capitalized. It ought to be in uppercase. This is David calling God by his first name, Yahweh. It's God's covenant name. It's the name that God gave to Moses when he met Moses at the burning bush. That's why we had Exodus 3 read by Naomi, not to hear her beautiful voice, but because there was a real reason for it. Remember what Moses said to God? Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? What does God say to Moses? I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. That's why Yahweh, or here Lord, is his covenant name, It's God in relationship to his people. It's the name God uses when the great and the mighty I am who I am says, I am also the God of your fathers. In other words, the great eternal God is the one who's joined himself to you. God says, I have your family tree in my hand. I go all the way back with your family, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that's who I am. It's an amazing thing for this God whom Moses met in the burning bush to be your shepherd this morning. I want to tell you today that whatever you've brought with you today, we're all different. However you're feeling about the start of this year, 2024, some of us hate the start of the new year. Others love it, you know, fresh start, clean slate, turn over a new leaf, new page. However you're feeling today, the fact that the God of the burning bush might be your God, your shepherd, there is nothing better. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing better. Just think about this with me. Just pause for a moment. Why did God do that for Moses in the burning bush? Why did he set the bush on fire? If you're going to show somebody who you are, declare your name, why do it in a burning bush? I want you to turn to the person next to you for 23.5 seconds. Why did God reveal himself to Moses in a burning bush? Yeah? Go. You look like, no, you don't look like you want to do it. Do it. Go. Have a go. Why did God reveal himself in a burning bush? Have a go. Five, four, three, two, one. Why did God reveal himself to Moses in this weird, wonderful burning bush? Anyone, any budding theologians out there want to put their theologian hat on the line? You know, anyone? Energy and power? Cleansing power? Yeah, yeah. Anyone else want to have a stab? Curiosity? Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. Out of the ordinary? Yeah, yeah. Sorry, was someone down here?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say to get his attention.
To get his attention. Yeah, yeah, nice. Good thoughts. Well, why did God reveal himself to Moses through the burning bush? I want you to listen to a wonderful guy named Sinclair Ferguson who says this, quote, "The fire that was present in the bush, but preserving the bush, the fire that was in the bush but wasn't dependent on the bush to burn was a most pure fire. It was a fire that was nothing but fire, a fire that was not a compound of other energy sources but had its energy source in itself." And you're going, of course, yeah, you know. You know, who are you, God? Why reveal yourself this way? If you look at Psalm 23, look how needy David is in Psalm 23. He's like a sheep. He needs food. He needs rest. He needs water. He needs shelter. He needs comfort. He needs housing. He needs help. You name it, David needs it. And who gives it to him? Did you spot it? The God who needs nothing and no one. What does ordinary fire need? It needs raw materials. At least it needs oxygen and some timber. But this fire burns in the bush and it needs nothing to burn. It does not consume the bush so that God can say to Moses, "Do you know who I am? I am who I am. Before you ever were, I was and I will be. I am the first and I am the last. I am outside of time. Because of that, I can be for you the God of your fathers and the God of their fathers and generations before them." I know that some of us in the room at one point or another have lost their parents. And I think the longer you go on in life, no matter what age you are, your parents remain the rock beneath your feet. For some, it hits us like a tidal wave. we discover too late that our parents were the rock beneath our feet. God is saying to Moses, and he's saying to David, he's saying to us this morning, think about the fact that I am the God of your fathers and their fathers before them. In other words, when our rocks come and go, when our rocks come and go, this God lives forever, stretching back through time even before it began. David comes alongside you today and puts his arm around your shoulder. Actually, I think he puts his like shepherd crook around your shoulder and says, I have a shepherd. And do you know what his name is? The Lord, the God of heaven who has no need of anything, and he supplies my every need. Brothers and sisters, it's one thing to have a shepherd, but it's an utterly staggering thing to have the shepherd who is the very one who is strength itself, the one who never tires, the one who never slumbers, the one who never needs protection. He is my shepherd. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I lack nothing because of who he is. Did you notice the psalm, actually, Psalm 23 begins and ends with the name of the Lord? One of the very last words in verse 6 is the Lord. It's like bookends in between these two great statements about who God is. We get a psalm about how God does everything for us. 12 times in 6 verses, we're told about God doing something for me. Here's the second reason I lack nothing, because of what he gives. I lack nothing because of who God is, number one. Number two, because of what he gives. Just look at the pictures in verses 2 and 3 in the psalm. Green pastures, that relates to food. The fact that he makes me lie down in green pastures means there's more than enough here. I don't need to go wandering off into other places to get more. I can find all that he needs where he's placed me. Quiet or still waters, that refers to drink. And this place of perfect feeding and secure resting means that he restores my soul. Here is a shepherd who provides for the basic needs of his sheep completely. One of the books I read last year was a book by a guy named Philip Keller, no relationship to Tim Keller, but by Philip Keller. It was a book called A Shepherd Takes a Look at Psalm 23. Philip Keller actually worked as a shepherd in the Middle East for some time. He had personal experience. So he brings this experience to reading the psalm. And he says, right, he says that phrase, he makes me lie down. He says, try and make a sheep lie down sometime. He says it's very, 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 has anyone tried to make a sheep lie down at any time? Oh, I haven't, I'm just living through his experience. It's really hard apparently to make a sheep lie down. Sheep are almost always on their feet, busy, active, you know, kind of wandering. But here's a kind of rest that comes from knowing that the shepherd is near. And a kind of rest that comes from knowing that the shepherd is taking care of everything. Ever been somewhere like that where people just take care of everything? Ever had the opportunity to go to, I don't know, a luxury stay somewhere in a hotel where no trouble is too great, where every kind of need is taken care of? Here's the thing, it's quite something to say, verse 1, I shall not want. It's quite something to say, I lack nothing, isn't it? Really? I lack nothing? Really? What do you want at the start of 2024? Wants are all around us, right? Everywhere. Better body. I want a new body. I want good marks. I want a better promotion. I want better clothes. I want better relationships. I want to plant a church soon. I want peace and quiet. I want a holiday. Remember what the Lord Jesus said? Recorded in John's Gospel, Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And Jesus himself takes that divine name that God revealed to Moses in the burning bush. He takes it and applies it to himself. I am the Lord. I am Yahweh come to earth. And then what did he say? I am the good shepherd. The Lord Jesus, brothers and sisters, is the Lord David speaks of here in Psalm 23. Jesus said, I am the door for the sheep. If anyone enters by me, they will be saved. They will go in and go out and find pasture. The green pastures that David is picturing here, you only find those green pastures as you find yourself in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. That's where the green pastures are. If you want this kind of rest in 2024, then you need an easy familiarity with the presence of the Lord Jesus. It's what Jesus meant when he said, you know, going out and coming in with me. It means that your everyday life, my everyday life, your coming and your going, not just here on Sundays, but on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and even on Saturday, every part of our lives needs to be a coming to him and a going out with him. And the more time you spend with Jesus in his presence, the more you'll receive all those things. So I want to say today, there may be things that you want for this year, things that are good things. There may be things that you want for this year that are not good things, maybe silly things that are on your mind and heart. But there is nothing that you need in this year that time with Jesus won't supply to you. There's nothing you need this year that time with Jesus won't supply to you. The more familiar you are with Jesus, the more comfortable you are in his presence, the more hungry you are to be fed by him, refreshed by him, forgiven by him, loved by him, the more restored your soul will be. So I want to ask you again, do you love the words of Psalm 23? Yeah? But do you love the shepherd of Psalm 23? For your sense of being in want is going to be directly proportional to your sense of knowing him, your closeness to him, your delight in him, your dependence on him. And so I want to finish with this. Number three, I lack nothing because look where God leads. I lack nothing because look where he leads. Verse three, he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Do you see the connection between right paths and wholeness? The way to the restored life in verse 3 is as much from right paths as it is from good food. In other words, happiness is found in holiness, and wholeness is found in righteousness. Look how it works. We might say verses 1 to 2, he leads us for our own good, but verse 3, he leads us for his good, for his glory, for his name's sake. Your good and God's glory are not two different things. Whatever is good for you glorifies God, and whatever glorifies God restores you and makes you whole and righteous. God's ultimate aim with the universe, if I can be so brave, God's ultimate aim for the universe in 2024 is not really anything to do with City Light Church North Adelaide or me or you. It's not your name, it's not my name, it's not our name being honoured, but that his name be honoured. The fame of the sheep is kind of irrelevant, but the fame, the honour and the reputation of the shepherd is everything. So I simply want to ask you this morning, as a new year begins, where are you today with the shepherd's paths of righteousness? Are you on them, but you're actually thinking about leaving them? Are you on them, but you're deconstructing them? Or perhaps you're not even on them and you're going it alone in life. I want to say this, and I'll do it again next week. I want to say with King David, there is no soul restoration, there's no wholeness in walking paths in life that your shepherd is not walking with you on. With Jesus and his word as he speaks, with his life-giving, gospel, wholeness-bringing word. With him and those other things, there is no greener grass anywhere else. And if we're honest, some of us right here, right now, are thinking, that kind of life, like that life over the other side of the fence,
that hill over there, the grass over there looks heaps greener. The only grass that is green is with Jesus in what he says is right and wrong. And some of us aren't just thinking that the grass is greener on the other side. We've actually started tasting that other grass. Maybe it's a relationship we know we shouldn't be in, or a set of relationships that we've become embroiled in, a new set of decisions, new encounters that we know it's not on a path of righteousness following Jesus. And the way we know it's not the right path is that it's just a little bit of distance has opened up between you and the Lord Jesus Christ that wasn't there this time last year. Psalm 23, brothers and sisters, reminds us that life is a journey. It's not a viewing gallery. You and I are never standing still in the Christian life. We're never static. We're either going with Jesus on his path or down a different path. 2 degrees of divergence this January could end up being a mile of divergence come next year. And some of us are just beginning to wonder, is it really worth it following Jesus? The path of the shepherd is the path to the cross, isn't it? We know that. Is it worth it? And I want to say wholeheartedly this morning, brothers and sisters, it is worth it. You will not long leave the path before you discover that there is no lasting nourishment anywhere else apart from Christ. As I close, I want to say, though, there are some in this room, in fact, many in this room, who display the pearl of this psalm to other people. In your simple, uncomplicated love for the Lord Jesus, week in, week out, year in, year out. And here you are again. Back in 2024 for a new year. You've been here for many, many years. You simply display your love for the shepherd as you walk in his paths week in, week out. There's nothing flashy about you. You're not in the newspapers. You probably won't get a plaque in some church somewhere with your name on it. You probably won't get invited to Preston Sprinkle's podcast or John Dixon's podcast to be interviewed and share your life. But you're showing to me and you're showing to others around you how the Lord Jesus Christ keeps you and feeds you and loves you and leads you. And I look out at a lot of you in front of me this morning, and I look at you and I'm like, I want to be like you. Because you inspire me to keep trusting Jesus. So may God speak to us. May the Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, feed you, restore you, keep you, and lead you this year and to his dwelling place forever. Let's pray together. Let's pray. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guards me along the right paths for his name's sake. Heavenly Father, we praise you this morning that you are our shepherd. It is a staggering thought to think that you, the living God, the God of the burning bush who needs nothing and requires nothing is our shepherd. And thank you that you, as our shepherd, we lack nothing. Help us to believe that. May that be a genuine confession of ours this morning, that you provide us with all that we need. Thank you that you provide us with food. Thank you that you provide us with water. Where we are, thank you for refreshing our souls. And Father, we pray this morning with the help of your Holy Spirit that you would help us keep on those right paths this year. Pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning who are drifting, wandering. Bring them back by your Spirit and gospel. Father, help us to, by your grace and with the help of your Holy Spirit, keep listening to and following the Lord Jesus, come what may. Thank you that you're with us, and thank you that we will dwell with you in the house of the Lord forever. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to audio from City Light Church, North Adelaide. We hope you found it helpful, and we'd love for you to share this message with others. For more great content, more information about City Light Church, or to donate to the work of City Light Church, North Adelaide, visit us at citylight.church/North Adelaide.